Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for having me at your place. My name is Dave Clancy. I'm the vicar here at Trinity, and just delighted that we can spend some time together this morning. A particularly warm welcome to you if you don't normally connect with Trinity South Christchurch. I'm really delighted that you're here. You're very, very welcome, and I hope it's been a good morning for you already. A particularly warm welcome to you if you are a member of one of the other churches in our diocese, in the Church of Confessing Anglicans, Aotearoa, New Zealand. It's wonderful that you can be with us. You're a great encouragement to us. And I pray that as we open God's word together, we might be able to encourage you as well. With that in mind, shall we bow our heads and pray as we start? Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you are with us, and that your Holy Spirit, who inspired these words of the Holy Bible so long ago, is now at work in us and amongst us. Father, might your Spirit be at work in me as I preach, and might he be at work in all of us as we humbly sit together under your word. Might he work in our lives to point us to Jesus for our good and the glory of your Son, we ask it. Amen. Recently, I was sent a comparison of people's aims for lockdown. On the left-hand side of the piece of paper, there was a list of aims that most people had, and it was quite a long list. Some people wanted to get fit or maybe learn to bake, read 10 books and so on. It was a very admirable list. And then on the other side of the piece of paper, there was a list of aims for parents of toddlers during lockdown. It just had one entry on it. It was go to the toilet with the door closed. Even the best of people, those who had long lists of what they wanted to accomplish during these days, they are finding that as the level four goes on, as the days turn to weeks, that those aims are hard to keep going. Motivation is dropping. And the hard grind of, well, even remembering what day of the week it is, let alone being productive and deliberate and intentional, well, that is starting to take its toll on many. Tomorrow, as a country, we are going to hear when level four might be lifted. But for many of us, for many people, as we've looked at what life will be like under level three, we realise that actually the change from level four to level three won't make a significant difference to most of us. We will remain separated. Most things are going to remain shut. We'll be able to remain in our bubbles, and even though they will slightly increase, most of us will still be very isolated from each other. And so I wanted this morning to be able to offer a word of encouragement about how we might keep going as Christians during this time. What hope and instruction the Lord might give us about how we should keep walking with him, how we might run the race marked for us, as the reading from Hebrews has just said. Not growing weary or losing heart, as we continue to trust in our Lord and Saviour, as we follow Jesus and live the sort of lives that he wants us to, even in these very unusual days. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian this morning, I'm delighted that you're with us. Good on you for tuning in. But I pray that what we talk about today might give you something of an insight into what it would mean to follow Jesus in your life. I hope that you might see how good he is, that you might be intrigued by him, and that you might take a step towards finding out more about who he is. If you are someone this morning who is already struggling in your faith, maybe slipping a little bit, these words today are not designed to make you feel bad. They're not designed to add extra pressure or burden to you. They're meant to encourage and give you hope, spur you on. And if you are someone who feels that actually you're doing okay in your faith, well, I'm delighted. My prayer is that you might be encouraged today, that you might even be equipped to help others in prayer and in conversation by example, that you might build up your brothers and sisters so that God's word might be good for all of us. Well, come with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and those first three verses that Tim read for us a moment ago. The negative outcome, which the author is seeking to avoid, is there at the very end of the verses. This is what he's wanting, so that we will not grow weary or lose heart. That's what we're trying to avoid. And we're going to see three instructions, three encouragements of what to do so that we might keep on running this race and not grow weary, not lose heart. Three things. Firstly, look at the saints around you, then lose the sin within you, and lastly, long for the Lord before you. Firstly, look at the saints around you. In the Bible, the language of saints means holy ones. It doesn't refer to a special class of Christian or a little group of extraordinary folk. No, all people, all those who trust in Jesus are called saints in the Bible. You're a saint. I'm a saint. We are all saints. We are holy ones because we have been made holy in God's sight through the death of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, says the writer, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. See, if you look around you now, you might see a handful of saints at best. Now, I know some of you are looking around your lounges and you are struggling to identify the people in your bubble as saints. It's okay. They're thinking the same thing about you. But I also realize that some of you are looking around and you're not seeing anyone. Now remember, anyone who trusts in Jesus is a saint. And yet it does seem odd to say that one of the ways to keep going is to look at the other Christians around when it's precisely our isolation from other Christians, which so many of us are finding difficult. But friends, these are great words for us. Because the cloud of witnesses which the author is referring to isn't other Christians around the original recipients. It's the faithful believers who aren't with them. You see, in chapter 11 of the letter to the Hebrews, just before what we've read, there is this wonderful, incredible list of all these faithful men and women who have trusted in God in really difficult circumstances. And at the time of writing, they are all dead. The original readers can't see them, but they are with them. They're surrounding them, and the Christians reading this are to consider them. They're to think of them. So you and I, we can't see our church family around us, but they are there. We can think of them. We can consider them. I'm standing here in Kashmir this morning, and I can think of that great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us in time, those who are now died and are with the Lord. But I can also think of you. I think of you in St. Martin's and Opawa. You in Sydenham and Summerfield. Down in the Beckenham Loop, over in Hoon Hay and Aidenfield and Hallswell. And I can think even further. Brothers and sisters around this country and indeed around the world who are trusting in Jesus. I am surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as are you. See, you are not alone. I know it can feel that way, but you're not alone. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses throughout time, throughout Trinity, throughout the diocese, up and down the country, throughout the world even, the GAFCON movement and the global church. You are not alone. You are not forgotten about. You are not isolated. We are in this together. And as others persevering in their faith is an encouragement to you, so too as you keep on going, as you keep on trusting in Jesus and walking with him, you are a wonderful encouragement to others. You certainly are to me. So look at the saints around you. Secondly, lose the sin within you. Different plants grow best in different conditions. Some need full sun, others like partial shade. Some like damp soil, others like very dry conditions. But it's not just plants. Our sin, our rebellion against God in thought and action, Sin grows well under specific conditions. And darkness and isolation and a lack of accountability and not having others around, well, that is the perfect environment for sin to grow in our lives. Maybe you have found that for yourself. Maybe you've noticed it in your own life over these weeks, that these times have offered sin particular opportunities. Well, into that situation, these words have great relevance. The writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Friends, that is that which is holding, sorry, let me ask that again. What is it that is holding you back? What is it that is tripping you up? What is it that is getting in the way of following Jesus? What is it that is hindering you and entangling you? Let me ask you to examine your own heart, to have a look at yourself in these moments. Where is sin growing? Let me ask you a couple of questions that cover some common areas, particular areas maybe for this time. Can I ask you, what are you watching? Has pornography or movies which show or depict sexual sin, has that become part of your life? What are you thinking about? What is running through your mind unchecked? Are you growing and developing bitterness in your heart as you cogitate and think and mull over all the things in the past? You run over historic wrongs that have been done to you, or you compare yourself with others and think how bad you've got it. Are your hearts full of jealousy or anger or self-pity? Maybe you're comparing yourself to others in different ways. Maybe your heart is full of pride at how well you're coping, about how you're doing so much better than others. Let me ask you, in these fertile conditions of sin that we have at the moment, where is sin growing? But maybe for you, these days are dangerous in another way. Maybe for you, the entanglement and the hindering looks a little bit different. My kids aren't like David Thompson's. David did the kids talk earlier. His kids were reading Shakespeare for fun. My son Liam hasn't been reading Shakespeare. He's been reading Homer's Odyssey over the past few weeks, although for the sake of honesty, he insists that I have to say he's been reading Homer's Odyssey. But in the Odyssey, the hero Ulysses stops on one of his journeys on the island of the Lotus Eaters. He sends some of his men to investigate what the residents of the island are like. And let me quote to you from the book. They started at once and went about among the lotus eaters, who did them no hurt, but gave them to eat of the lotus, which was so delicious that those who ate of it left off caring about home and did not even want to go back and say what had happened to them, but were for staying and munching lotus with the lotus eaters without thinking further of their return. See, maybe for you, these days are dangerous because they're so good. You're loving this time. Time at home, time with the people that you care about most, reading books, watching movies, baking, sleeping, exercising, relaxing. You are loving this. You are, to turn a phrase, munching the lotus. See, the danger for you is that what is hindering you and entangling you is that things are so good. Your focus on Jesus, your walk with him, your deliberate discipleship, it's drifting because things are so pleasant as they are. And friends, do you see, into our situation, be it the secretness of sin growing or the focus on ourselves, God says, throw it off. Lose the sin. Lose the sin. This is Lloyd Scott. In 2012, he ran the London Marathon. Nothing particularly impressive about that. Thousands of people do it every year. Maybe not this year, but every other year, thousands of people do it. But it took Lloyd here 5 days, 8 hours and 29 minutes to complete the London Marathon. Because Lloyd was running it wearing this. He was wearing a deep sea diver's suit that had weighted boots. You see, he was doing it to raise money for charity, but with every step that he took, he had to lift about 8 kilograms that was attached to his foot. You can't run with that weighing you down, can you? Lloyd could barely walk. And yet that is a picture of us trying to follow Jesus while at the same time letting sin and distraction entangle and hinder us. It's a picture of us thinking that we can walk with the Lord and please him and have times of fellowship with him and be close to him while at the same time embracing sin, living with unrepentant, unaddressed ungodliness in our lives. See, our Christian lives are always going to be very hard work if we are letting sin grow and making no effort to rid ourselves of it. And God says to us, he says, in order to keep going with Christ, to keep on walking with your Lord, lose the sin within you. Identify it. Make an active decision to say no to it. Throw it off. Now, friends, I know that for some, sin feels so ingrained. I know that for some, thoughts and behaviors seem so settled in our lives. But I also know that God has defeated the penalty of sin at the cross, and he's poured out his Spirit to all Christians, and he strengthens us and equips us to overcome the power of sin in our lives. And so he calls on us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles. Christians, step out of that deep sea diving suit of sin and selfishness. But looking at the saints around you and losing the sin within you is really only leading up to the heart of what this passage is saying to us, the heart of how we are to keep going, walking with our Lord. Our final point, long for the Lord before you. Long for the Lord before you. See, where you are looking is where you will go. Where our eyes are fixed is where we will end up. When you're throwing something, you look at where you want the item to go. When you're driving a car at night and another vehicle is approaching you, where do you look? You don't look at the lights of the other car, not only because they'll dazzle you, but because when you look at something, you start to drift towards it. What you are looking at is where you will go. In Proverbs 17, the Lord says, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Now, it's not saying that fools go on long overseas holidays, although in the current climate, maybe. No. Proverbs, you see, is all about living wisely. And the author says, look at wisdom. Don't look off into the middle distance. Look at wisdom. You want wisdom? You want to live wisely? Look at wisdom. Keep it in view. Because where you are looking is where you will go. And friends, twice in our three verses in Hebrews 12, we're told to look at Jesus. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And then again in verse 3, we're told to consider him. But this is not just glancing at him. It's not looking at him on Sundays only or coming to him when we're in trouble or when we need something. This is long-term looking. This is a longing with the eyes of our hearts. Long for the Lord before you. Long for the Lord because he has gone before you. You see, the example of the Lord Jesus in his life is one of faithful obedience to his Father. And the author of Hebrews says, look at him. Look at him who endured such opposition from sinners. Look at him who endured the cross, scorning its shame. Christian, the Lord Jesus has walked this path before us. He has walked faithfully with the Lord. Now, his battle wasn't with sin inside him like ours is. No, his battle was with sinners around him. But he still endured. As we heard on Good Friday, his hardship was not only the physical pain and suffering, but the spiritual isolation of the cross. And he endured. Long for the Lord who has gone before you. Long for the Lord who is seated before you in heaven. A moment ago, we heard, or early in the service, we heard about what different people in our church and across the diocese are looking forward to after lockdown. I'm sure some of us could really identify with what we heard. Some of them were a little different. But I'm sure that, like them, like me, you have wandered, let your mind go occasionally to wonder what you will do on that first day after lockdown, when you are free and when you are released. What are you looking forward to? You see, for many of us, it is that hope, that day, what we're longing for, which sustains us and motivates us. We look forward and we long for that which is coming. And in your Christian walk, if you want to keep on walking faithfully with God, if you want to grow, look at Jesus. Long for him. Look at where he is now, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at his completed work. Look at the joy that he experiences, for it was that joy which motivated him. It was the joy of pleasing his Father, the joy of completing his work, the joy of saving men and women like you and me. It was the joy of glorifying God himself. It was that vision of perfect joy which drove him. Look at him on his throne. He loves you. He's laid down his life for you. He's saved you. He's brought you to God himself, and one day he will return for you. He is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He is the beginning and he is the end of our dependence upon God. He is the perfectly faithful one. He is the one in whom we trust, and he is the one who strengthens and equips us and who perfects our faith, strengthening it where it is weak. Look at Jesus and long for the Lord before you. See, this is how we will endure as God's people in this time. We're not alone. Look at the saints around you. We've got work to do. Lose the sin within you. And we've got somewhere to go. Long for the Lord before you. In the words of that old but lovely devotional hymn, let me finish with these. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Keep going, church. Keep going. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us the Lord Jesus, who we might consider, on whom we might fix our eyes. Father, as we look at him, as we look around us at the saints who are walking this journey with us, as we look within us and lose the sin, would you so stir our hearts in the goodness of following Christ, that you might equip us to love him, to turn from sin, and to patiently and faithfully walk this race, run this race that you have put before us, enduring whatever comes our way and looking towards, longing for our Lord. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.